This morning, joy is our theme. And I mean this of all the themes of Christmas, hope, peace, love, joy. To me, joy is probably the one that rings my bell. And it's the reason why. By the way, it is Jannie's birthday. Some birdie told me, it is Jan Gray. Is there anybody else that has a birthday here this morning? I don't want to overlook anybody. Anybody else, Jannie's birthday? Anybody else today? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jannie. Happy birthday to you. By the way, your son-in-law asked me to embarrass you that way. So happy birthday, Jan. You're not 60, I know. I'll stop right there. She's under that. What's that, Cub? Dave's 60? Not yet, are you? Oh, last year. Okay. Next. This is not the Methodist Church, Pastor Norma. I want you to know that. There's some things missing. All right. But I remember the most powerful thing in my life at 21 years old, when I came to believe in Jesus Christ, was joy. Because I had lived an earthly, humanistic, hedonistic life before I came to believe in Jesus. And I had experienced the highs of this world, but I'm going to tell you something. When I came to know Jesus Christ, I came to know joy. I came to know a lasting happiness. And I'll be honest with you, it was such a joy in my heart that I had to tell everybody. And everywhere I went, I told them of the new life that God had given me the Sunday morning, April the 21st, 1974, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I didn't even really understand what I had done. If I'm to be honest, I simply believed that Jesus died for my sins because God loved me. And I believed in my heart that morning that Jesus arose from the dead. And I had never understood that before. And I called upon Jesus Christ to come into my life and to give me a new life. And I left that church. And I was so excited. I mean, I was so excited, I had to tell everybody. And I told you about standing in line to go at a barbecue place down in Florida. And I saw a guy I worked with, and I had to tell him that I'd gotten saved. He was in a suit, and I had to tell him I'd gotten saved that morning. And I was in my marijuana shirt, and he was in a Sunday shirt and suit. But I had been saved that Sunday. And my life dramatically changed. And I could tell you story after story about how God changed my heart and gave me an inner peace and a joy. And how He took over leading my life. So to me, the joy of Christmas is very special in that theme. Now, I have in your notes there to define joy. Before I do, let's pray together. Father, by Your Spirit in our midst, please fill me. Please speak to our hearts. Please challenge our lives. And Lord, would You save someone here this morning and give them the gift of eternal life through You, Jesus Christ. And may we leave here with understanding better what joy is in our lives and how it comes. Amen. To define joy, And this is my definition, I must admit. It's joy at Christmas is an exuberant emotion. It's just to be so full of joy. It's be so full of Keith Reese that you want to jump up and down. That's it. That's it. But you're just so thankful that you have Christ in your life. And you have all God's fullness to live in you by His Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit live in you by His Spirit. And this is my definition. Although joy is an emotion of happiness, there's no question that joy is an emotion of happiness. It exceeds such limited definition of happiness, which is mostly determined by happenings. In other words, if you get a promotion at your job, you're happy, aren't you? You get a dollar an hour raise, you're happy. But what about if you get the pink slip? What about if you have a tragedy in your life? Where's happiness? Joy is more than happiness, which is determined by earthly happenings. Christian joy is a God-given internal emotion, an inward, unchanging realization that all is under God's control. All is under God's control, and you are a part of His plan and His purpose. You know, the people that lost their loved ones, if they knew Christ, they can have joy. Paul wrote from a prison, a Roman prison, dank, stinking, concrete walls, chained to a wall. He wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord." And again I say, rejoice. Joy is not based on your earthly circumstances. Christ's joy is based that God is in control and has a purpose and plan for your life. As a Christian can have joy even in the midst of great sorrow because they know God and can truly trust Him. We can truly trust God. No matter what our outward circumstances. Romans 8:28 and 29 say this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, those He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. So we can know that God means good to His child. Lasting joy comes by having a right relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And really, this is very important. Real joy will come by walking in obedience to Christ. Look at the verse in John chapter 15. Real joy will come by walking in obedience to Jesus Christ. John chapter 15. Verse 9. Jesus said these words to us this morning. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You want to have full joy. You want to have full God joy in your life. You'll find it in obedience. You'll find it in obeying what God has told you to do. And God has told you to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And you will find joy in believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now let's move on. I want to talk on this theme of joy, and this is not a, I don't know what it is about this year, but some of these things are not traditionally Christmas that I'm saying. I'm speaking on the topic of joy because I think that it's my responsibility to feed you some meat. Joy is not just at Christmas. Yeah, there was exuberant joy, and we're going to look at that in the beginning here. Joy is given to the person to whom God reveals Jesus as his salvation, and they believe. Now, the joy, number one there, joy to those to whom the birth of Christ, the Messiah, was revealed. Look at the shepherds in Luke chapter 1. Turn for me to Luke chapter 1. There was joy, great joy, surrounding the birth of Jesus to those to whom God revealed the birth of His Son. In Luke chapter 1, verse, before we get to the shepherds, I apologize. But in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, Mary says, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice.'" That is Mary. "The angel said to Mary, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" So Mary is to rejoice in her circumstances at the birth of Christ. Look at verse 39 through 45. This is the scene when Mary came to Elizabeth. "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe that was in Elizabeth leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke out in a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy.'" In other words, can you imagine that experience that Elizabeth must have had when the baby in her womb heard the voice of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus in Mary's womb, and the baby jumped in her womb for joy? You see, the coming of the birth of Jesus was a very joyful thing to those that experienced it. And then chapter 2, 8 through 20, let's look at the shepherds. And I apologize that I didn't put in all those people. But in Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. And behold, the angel, an angel of the Lord, stood before them. And the bright light, or the glory of the Lord, shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" And if you go on down, excuse me, on down to where the shepherds come in and the angels singing, verse 15, "So it was when the angels had," I apologize, skip up above verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth good peace, goodwill toward men.'" Now the point is this: the birth of Jesus was a very joyful, you know that. If there's any word that characterizes the birth of Jesus, it was joy. It was exuberant happiness. To those to whom God revealed it to them, they were filled with joy. And of course we know that when shepherds left, they found Mary and Joseph. In verse 17, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Verse 20, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. That's the way I left church that Sunday. I had experienced God revealing His Son Jesus to me, and I left with a skip and a jump. And I left with such joy. It was something I had never, ever experienced such happiness as the day that Jesus, God revealed Jesus to me. And that's the way it was with these shepherds. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the joy that these shepherds had that night in finding Jesus as it was? Then the Magi. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. The Magi. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Look at the joy that they had. These Magi came from some distance. They had seen the star of the Messiah. And they had come looking, searching for Him. God revealed them to these Magi. The Messiah was born. And they came joyfully, bearing very extravagant gifts, very generous, expensive gifts that they brought to Jesus Christ at His birth. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is He who has been born, King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him. And if you're familiar with the scene, I'm just trying to stick with this theme of joy. They tell Him He's born in Bethlehem, so they leave and go toward Bethlehem. And verse 9, and when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east once again went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great megas joy. This was a very joyful thing, to once again see the star, to reappear, and to lead them to the Christ. And as you continue on there, it says, verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to Him, gold. Think of those gifts today, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very costly items. Myrrh for His burial. Frankincense for His deity. Gold. And being divinely warned that they should not return to Herod, they departed to go to their own country another way. But what I'm trying to say to you is, these very intelligent, elite men were very excited and full of joy to come to and find Jesus at His birth. So there was joy to those to whom the birth of Christ, Messiah, was revealed. Secondly, a major theme of Jesus in dealing with people that He met during His lifetime. A major theme is He left them, and when Jesus and that person separated, that person was left with joy. When that person experienced Jesus Christ, right, they experienced joy. I think of the woman at the well in John chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me. There's joy is a major theme. And it goes far beyond Christmas. It goes into January and February and July and August. Joy is something we are always to have. But great joy at Christmas. But every place Jesus went, he left people experiencing joy. In John chapter 4, in verse 3, he left Judea, that is, Jesus left Judea, that is where Bethlehem, Jerusalem are, and he departed again to Galilee, which is in the northern section of Israel. It'd be like leaving Tyrone to go to Altoona. No, that's the wrong direction. You go north to get to Galilee from Bethlehem, Jerusalem. So he left Judea where Jerusalem is, and he's going to Galilee north. But he needed to go through Samaria. Now, most 99% of you know Samaria is the place where the Samaritans lived. And the Samaritans were the half-breed Jews. And the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. They despised the Samaritans. They almost hated the Samaritans because the Samaritans were put into the country of Israel by the Assyrian people. And they moved, when they conquered a country, they moved people in and moved the people out of countries and moved people into countries. Well, the Samaritans were people with their roots who had come from other countries. They weren't Jews. But some of them had married Jews, but they were despised people. And Jesus had to go through Samaria. And the truth was, no Jew went through Samaria. They crossed the Jordan, went up the east side of Jordan, came back in, and then went up to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. And verse 5, so when he came to the city of Samaria, that is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat at the well. It was about noon, the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you would have known the gift of God and who it is who's talking to you, who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now, living water that Jesus is talking about is what we have within us. It's joy. It's the Holy Spirit, actually. But the living water that Jesus wanted to give her was his Spirit in her. But the woman said to her, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with," verse 11, "and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Where does it come from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water in the well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Amen. Thank you, Rob. That is great truth. The water that Jesus gives us is living water. It's alive. And it will be springing up inside of you to give you joy, no matter what your earthly circumstances are surrounding you. It's a joy that the world doesn't give. It's a joy that's within us. And that's the joy, the water, the living water he wanted to give to the woman. And we could go on and on and on here, but I don't have time. I can't. That clock, what does this mean? Nothing, I know. If it's long this morning, blame it on Keith. It's his fault. But seriously, joy was given to those who encountered Jesus and believed in him during his life on earth. in John 25 through 42, and I don't have time to read all those, but look at it with me. I want you to see the disciples and what he said to his disciples. He said to his disciples after, let me finish the woman, verse 27. And at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Could this be the Christ?" And then they went out to the city and came to him. Now skip with me now to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with them there two more days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now you know, and I know, this woman had been married 5 times. She didn't know what it meant to be loved, and Jesus revealed that he knew her and loved her. And she left her water pot there, and she went running back to the city because she had found somebody who gave her the answers to her life's questions, Jesus, and who knew her and loved her. And the very important words there, she left her water pot at the well. She didn't care anything more about water at the well. She had found living water. And if you know the scriptures, and I didn't put this in there, in John chapter 8, and I want you to turn there and let me find that scripture. And I may need somebody out there to help me find it. Well, John chapter 8 and verse 37, and it's John chapter 7, verse 37, excuse me. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." But I want you to know that that's the source of true joy. You'll never find true joy in your earthly surroundings. You'll never find a joy that doesn't go away in your earthly circumstances. But you can have a true joy, the joy of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit living inside of you. When you believe in Jesus, he sends his Spirit to come into your heart. And then you'll find satisfaction. Like the woman at the well, you'll find satisfaction. So much more. The blind beggar Bartimaeus found joy when he was healed. The thief Zacchaeus received joy, Jesus into his house with joy. The demonic maniac man, after he was forgiven and healed, what did he do? He went out everywhere telling everybody of what Jesus had done for him. Why? Because Jesus Christ had changed his life and he had joy. Now, I want to talk quickly to the joy. You can see the third point of joy given to those who believe the message of God's forgiveness of sins through Jesus. The 3,000 people at Pentecost, Acts 8:39, the great joy in the city of Samaria when they believed in Jesus. But the Roman soldier, the prison guard, look at it with me in Acts chapter 16. I'm trying to say that everyone who encountered Jesus Christ by God's revelation experienced joy, a joy that nobody could take from them, an exuberant happiness. In Acts chapter 16, look at the Philippian, he was really a Roman soldier who was guarding Paul and Silas in the jail. He believed in Jesus in verse 30. And he, that is the jailer, brought them, Paul and Silas, out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, or in his family. And he took them that same hour of the night, and he washed their wounds. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set a meal before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his house. I'm saying Jesus wasn't there, but I'm saying to you, people who believed in Jesus after his death and resurrection, joy. Every Christian should have real joy when they believe in Jesus. I mean that. We have within us a joy that can't ever leave us. Joy that's just beyond words. Joy. There's secondly, though, Roman numeral number two, their great joy is given to the believer who shares the gospel. And I want to skip over that for time's sake and move to the third point. By the way, Paul said this, that people who trust Jesus Christ, you really want to have joy in your life. If you really want to have joy in your life, tell other people about Jesus. Share the gospel with them. Okay? Some of them will believe. Someone among your friends will believe. And Paul said that the people of the church where he had went and preached and started churches, they were his joy. They were his joy. Joy in his heart that he received because he had led people to Christ. There's joy not only in believing in Jesus, but there's also joy and reward in sharing the good news about Jesus. But lastly, number three, there's great joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And by repentance, I mean comes to their senses and turns from their sin and returns to God through believing in Jesus as their Savior. Jesus teaches in another place, joy is found because a person is saved and there's spontaneous joy in heaven. Look at Luke chapter 15. There's joy in heaven. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives a parable. And he gives a parable about the shepherd with the lost lamb. And he says to them, first of all, the context of his teaching here, verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him. They sat on the edge of their seat or came up and hugged Jesus. They were following him and they wanted to be with Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together all his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then Jesus says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just people that needs no repentance. One sinner here this morning that would turn from their worldly, vain, empty life and would turn to God and believe in Jesus Christ, that He died for their sins and rose again, and believe in their heart that Jesus, that God has the power to forgive all their sins. Freely. Freely. If they will come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And freely God can forgive them. He says there's more joy in heaven over that one soul than over all the other people that are good enough and don't need to be saved. And the same was true of the woman with the lost coin. There was more joy. There's great a joy. In other words, joy breaks out in heaven when someone believes in Jesus. I think the party, a party second to none that takes place in heaven when one soul gets saved. I love parties, but wouldn't you love to be in heaven to see all the people rejoicing, shouting, praising the Lord? And all the angels rejoicing. All the angels, all of heaven rejoicing over one person who turns from their vain, empty life and finds meaning and purpose and living water through Jesus Christ and asks Him to be their Savior and turns to Him. There's more joy in heaven over that one than over churches full of people who need no repentance. You know, we rejoice, and there's rejoicing in heaven. And don't ever forget, Jesus concludes this truth to the Pharisees over the prodigal son. The prodigal son who went to the pig pen, or left to live his drunken, immoral, drug life. I think they had marijuana back then. I'm joking, you know that. But he lived that kind of life. And then he had no more money and he ended up in the pig pen. And the father welcomed him home. What a picture. And was that father joyous? I mean, that was probably the most joyous moment in that father's his life, when he could once again hold his son to his bosom and kiss on him. He couldn't stop kissing him. He couldn't stop holding on to him. That revealing again how much God loves sinners that come back home and turn back to God. He's waiting for you to turn back to Him. That's why He gets so happy in heaven. There's great rejoicing in heaven. And by the way, He rejoices over you too. He loves your obedience. He loves your closeness to Him. He loves your fellowship with Him. And I put into your notes there about joy. All of these stories were illustrations of spontaneous joy that heaven breaks into when one person repents of their sin and believes in Jesus. But such internal joy cannot be hidden. Let me ask you this. When you get a promotion at your job, does that make you happy? When you have a baby, does that make you happy? Say, are you crazy, Pastor? The day you were married, did that not bring you happiness? Don't answer that, maybe. But no, seriously. You know, we don't experience these kind of joyful events and not tell anybody. We invite everybody we know, if we can afford it. We invite everybody we know. We want people to share in our joy. Why is it that knowing Jesus so oftentimes is a secret to us? And we don't tell anybody that we're a Christian. How can you know Christ and have the joy that Jesus gives inside your soul springing up in you and you don't tell anybody? That's an oxymoron, my friends. We should be telling everybody. Just like the woman at the well. Just like the shepherds that found them. They went everywhere telling everybody. Why? Because that's what joy does. It has to tell everybody. Let's pray together. We thank you for the joy that introduces this theme of joy to us. The joy that the world can't give us nor take from us. The joy that brings so much true meaning and happiness that's eternal. That's eternal. That can sustain us through the worst of news in this world. You wanted us, your disciples, to have your joy in teaching them that even the day before the crucifixion. Your joy that you had even hanging on the cross, knowing that we would be in your parade of your bride. Joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Though we haven't seen you, we have that joy. I pray that this Christmas we would have the joy of yours, Lord, that would last beyond Christmas, the new year, throughout the whole year. We would have the joy, the living water of the Holy Spirit in us, springing up to joy. And I pray that, Lord, this might be accomplished as we walk with you in your word and your Holy Spirit. We have a relationship with you and you feed us your word. I pray your blessing now upon this word this morning. And I ask this, that we would have joy this Christmas, full of joy, as we experience you afresh this Christmas. Amen. I had a song.